May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus was marked right from the very beginning of his ministry as a man who had authority. In the 22nd verse of Mark 1, it says, he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And then later in the 27th verse of Mark 1, it said, they said, with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. So this is a natural time to talk about the authority of Christ and your and my authority problems. Because if you get clear on the nature of what authority is in your life, which you don't have clear, nobody has it clear in this life, but if you get to the hem of the garment of what authentic and freeing authority is, you can have a life as opposed to being lived. Let me repeat that. You can have a life as opposed to being lived, because the plain truth is just about everybody is lived rather than living, because we have all these authorities and counter-authorities. And I need to ask you to think for a second about your attitude towards authority. Authority works in two ways. We either submit to it, often with a lot of bad resentment inside, or we kick it out the door and we pull a Freudian knock at the father figures in the interests of our supposed autonomy. Let me tell you how it works. I'm visiting a hospital in Tarrytown, New York, about 12 years ago, visiting a young married woman, and her husband was obviously there, and they were having, shall we say, a difference of opinion. And the door was closed, and I heard, as I came to knock on the door, I heard her, who was an extremely composed, apparently very sort of preppy, together sort of person, saying, "Don't you tell me what to do. You've been doing it for 10 years, and don't." And he said, "Oh, for heaven's sake, honey." And at that point, I knocked on the door. It's Paul Zoll. The husband was the embarrassed one. He came out of the door. He said, "Look, I'm very sorry. I don't even know what to say, except she doesn't really want to see you or anybody right now. She's not feeling very well, and I don't quite know what to say, except could you come back, you know, next year?" Well, now think about that. Don't you tell me what to do. This was a position, a point. In their marriage, they were working out some kind of authority. Somebody was apparently attempting in the mind of the other person to hold the weight. And I run into marriages breaking apart all the time in which the fella or the woman says to me, "Look, I've been doing what you told me to do for the last 20 years, and I need some breathing. I need to get out of here. I just can't stand another minute of your picky, judgmental thing that I've been obeying, all these years, and I am out of here. It is Kramer versus Kramer." Now, the fact of the matter is, in most of those cases, there's a third party waiting in the wings, and when someone ever tells you, "You know, darling, I need a little time to get it together. I need to go off by myself and kind of, I've got to get myself together," in 100% of cases, there's another person. I'm just telling you, if you hear it, 100% of cases, there is no such thing as alone time in needy human beings who say it that way. But the point is, authority, most marriages break up because one person feels the other person is basically the dominant, judgmental, heavy one who is preventing my freedom. Now, authority basically is I guess we'd have to say it functions for many of us as sort of a bad thing in that way. Who here wants to live under the rubric of somebody else's orders? I don't know of any person who particularly wishes to live under the sign of somebody else's plans for my life. And so many of us might consent, but we resent it. I meet women all the time who are scared of their husbands, for example. Are you one of them? Or is your wife scared of you? You can tell it in their faces. They'll never say, "I'm scared of my husband," because they'd have their tan chopped off, they think, if they ever said it. But I see it, the body language is telling me, "Dean, you can imagine how hard it is to live with this fella. Have a heart, but I can't do anything about it. I'm helpless. Pity me, please. That look comes out of women's faces all the time, in my experience. It's kind of an unspoken pathos that I receive. I obviously meet men who are afraid of their wives, who are in fear of their wives, and I used to think I was one of them, but thank God that's not true. That's not true. I can honestly report that. But what is true is authority functions in a very difficult way. Authority, either you go underground and you're sort of the good daughter, or you're the good wife, or you're the new man, or whatever it is, or authority drives you in another way. The second way authority works is you rebel. You've heard me say this before, but it's just the truth about everybody sitting here in one form. It's either you or your brother who's done this. You rebel against the authority, and you go to New York. I mean, New York is all people from the Southeast United States. If you've been recently, all the clergy, all the people I meet, and it's because they're running away from authority, and that means that you're being controlled by authority. You see, if you're a hippie, you're being controlled by authority. You're just going the other way. Tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me about your brother or your uncle or your aunt or even your child who's a hippie. Are they not being run by the authority? Because they're defining themselves against the authority? Every hippie I've ever met falls into this category. And you run away and you want to get rid of the authority, and you either move to San Francisco, which is a beautiful place, or New York, because you grew up conservative and you want to be yourself. But tell me, if you know these people, they're angry, they're angular, you'd rather they didn't come back for Christmas, and they are full of being driven by somebody else. So what I'm trying to say is authority, either it rules you by suppression, or it rules you by revolt. But in either case, you're often ruled by authority. Now, this is where the authority of Christ has a real role. Because not only is the authority of Christ quite unusual, but it is a freeing authority. And in fact, it contributes more to independence in the best sense than any thumbing my nose. You know, I've always said it, any person who's into Asian religion, who's not Asian by background, is a former Southern Baptist or a former Roman Catholic. There are no exceptions, because they are being driven. The New Age is just one huge concatenation of members of the Church of Christ. Now, that's not entirely true, but it's more or less true. Because authority is ruling them negatively, or authority is ruling me by conceding to it. Which do you fall into? Or a part of you? Or somebody you love? Now, the thing about authority in Jesus, it has the ability, strangely enough, to free you from these false authorities. Because I don't want to be under the authority of my dad, because I'm a man now, right? When I was a child, I spoke like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish things. So I don't want to be under the authority of a father anymore in a human sense. Do you? Unless you're a child? Do you want to be under the authority of your husband? Do you want to be under the authority of this woman? Do you want to be under the authority of your daughter-in-law? Do you want to be under the authority of your difficult 35-year-old son who eats you out of house and home? He eats more sugar corn pops than five children? Well, I'm just trying to say we need to be freed from authority, but not out of reaction on the one hand, nor out of the wrong kind of concession, which is defeat, on the other. And this is where the authority of Jesus is very compelling. First it says, he taught them as one who had authority. Jesus is always referred in the Bible, and it's in Matthew 7, and it's Mark 22, and it's in John. He is spoken of as the one who taught with authority. That means he had the truth. So whatever real authority is, it's the truth. And most of my false authorities are in my head. You know, George Michael's song, Let Me Be Your Father Figure. That's totally not the truth. I don't know if you remember that song, but my children called me their father figure for a year after that, because I'm always trying to evade the transference, although in actual fact I am their natural father. There we are. But the authority of truth. Jesus had the authority of truth. He would immediately see through penultimate authorities. He would have seen through the false authorities that dominate your life in favor of the true authority, which obviously is God. And then it says, his authority was given by God. He by what authority? Matthew 21, Mark 11. His authority came from God. So it was different from sort of Night of the Hunter. Night of the Hunter. You know, that awful picture of the pastor who's really a stand-in for your worst Freudian nightmare of the bad father. This authority is from God. It's not from men, and it tells the truth as opposed to living under a lie. And finally, about this authority, it can be given away. Because we read in Luke 9, verse 1, he gave his disciples authority. The Greek word is exousia. It repeats throughout. He gave his disciples authority over demons. Well, I'd like to wrap this up. Where have we come from? First, we talked about authority as a thing that just rolls you over. And you don't like it, but you live with it. And there are people out here who are terribly afraid of the person they're submitting to. And I can tell you in your body language, God is looking through you, not just me. But I can tell by your body language if you're afraid of someone you ought to love. On the other hand, authority could be driving you the other way. Kramer versus Kramer. I'm out of here. But I'm just as much controlled by authority that way as I'm controlled by authority the other way. And then I contrasted it with the authority of Christ, which came from God. It was understood. It taught the truth clearly. And it cast out demons. And here we come to the conclusion. He's the one who has the authority over my life, and I would gladly give it to him and to no other. There's a painter named Fritz von Uhde, who you don't need to know the name or anything, but he painted many pictures. And one of his pictures in the 1900s, it's sentimental but very powerful, and I can show it to you, and it's called Grace at Meal. And in it, there's sort of this peasant family sitting around the table, and they're just about to say grace. Come, O Lord, and deign to be our guest. And Jesus walks in. It's a very sentimental and powerful picture of these people about to say grace, and Jesus walks in. And Fritz von Uhde captures a reality. They don't fall to their knees like in a movie about Satan, you know, Master. It's not, they don't fall to their knees like a movie about Satan. There's a tenderness in the way they receive him. And I can show you the painting. Jesus is just there, very much as we picture him, and the head of the house is going like this. And the women have all stood up, and they're standing, and the little child is standing behind her mother. They're full of a sense of authority, but it's not a catatonic, hysterical obeisance. And this is powerful. This is the authority he has over my life. It's graceful, and it's powerful. I often wonder on Thursday morning at the Bible study. We have a wonderful Bible study here, one of many Bible studies. I often wonder, seriously, what if Jesus walked in? What would the guys in the Bible study and the ladies, what would we do? Master. No, it would be an authority, I'm quite convinced from the reactions of people in the time, of awe and yet tremendous warmth and welcome. We can welcome that authority. And the other thing to finish is that he gives us authority. We've been given the authority to cast out demons. And let me fill this out and say this means that the wrong authorities you can in fact cast out. If you're over 40, you should no longer be intimidated by father figures. When I meet men who are 50 and 60, as I never fail to tell you, who are retired and they're still into some kind of career thing, I just want to say, grow up. I mean, you lived through your career in your 30s. You did it. Forget it now. You're 40 or you're 45. You're a man. You no longer have to be in awe of any person. Cut it out. I give up childish things. Or if you're intimidated by your daughter-in-law, you don't need to be. This doesn't mean you throw her out of the house or you become a hippie or something like that, but you don't need to be intimidated by your daughter-in-law. You don't need to be intimidated even by your mother or father. And you see, you'll be much better when they're in St. Martin's. You'll be a far better witness to the fifth commandment if they're not intimidating you. Because if they intimidate you, it'll be under resentment, the sign of a grudge. But if you're a man, or if you're a full-grown woman, and you're dealing with them as an adult child, obeying the fifth commandment, and your only Lord is Jesus Christ and God, you will find that your love and even your reverence for your parents will increase, because it won't be under the rubric of resentment. Or if you've got this man you live with who you wouldn't tell anybody else, but you're just fearful of his temper, you're just afraid of his temper, you'd rather do anything but hear harsh words and him yell at you, you know, you don't have to be afraid of this fellow. If you can be yourself with him, he's going to find you much more attractive. And the same goes with if you're afraid of your spouse, who's a lady, a woman. This doesn't have to be. You're in a position to cast out the demon of the false penultimate dominion of an authority that doesn't really exist. The only authority is Jesus Christ, the gracious, total messenger and Son of God. And under that authority, you have been given the authority to deal freely with any penultimate authority you can name, even if it's a client. Now, I'd like to ask you to kneel, and I should like to say a prayer concerning authority. Dear Heavenly Father, give us the X-ray eyes to scope out the false authorities that still have us wound up and under lock and key, or have us furious and deeply bitter and resentful. Help us to see today that particular authority, which is a demonic form of possession over our own freedom and hope. Help us to cast all things upon Thee, and to see Thy gracious authority as that to which every knee shall bow in heaven and upon earth. And give us then the freedom not only to report to You and to You alone, but also to love those whom Thou hast given us without fear, but with grace and reverence and a love from the heart. And this I pray in each of our situations, for the sake of Thy Son, our Lord. Amen.